Welcome to the Church at South Edmonton's podcast. We hope you're encouraged and inspired to seek Christ through the message today.
Father, we thank you that there is power in the name of Jesus. That anything we ask in his name shall be given. That there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we can be saved. That there is healing in the name of Jesus. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. There is new life. Everything we need, Father, we come to you. We open up to you. We receive from you right here and right now. Everything you have for us, all of your grace, all of your goodness, all of your blessing, we believe it and we receive it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, give God a shout of praise, church. Come on. And before you sit down, all the children, we're going to release the kids to go to kids' church now, but all the kids, we've only started doing this, so some of you might not have cottoned on yet. If you signed your kids in before the service started, they're already signed in, send them down the front right now. Just give them a little down the aisle, send them down the front. We are going to bless them. We're going to pray over them. We're going to send them out that door. If you haven't signed your kid in yet, hold on to them. When these kids go out that door, you take your kid out that door and sign them in, okay? Let's reach out our hands to these children here. Father, we speak the name of Jesus over these children. Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to them. We pray for these kids and all the other children in this building today and our volunteers and team who are going to be looking after them. May they be blessed, Father God. May they have fun and may they come to know you in a deeper way. In Jesus' name, amen. Give them a big God bless you as they go out that door. On you go that way. And the rest of you can take a seat. How are you doing? Good. That is great. It's his half birthday today. It's my 10th birthday. A 10th, you know, 1/10. I think if you can have a half birthday, you can have a quarter birthday, an eighth of a birthday, and something every week. Well, today, we are beginning a brand new message series. It's called Success Secrets from Scripture. I want you to say that 10 times as a tongue twister. Let's say it one time. Success Secrets from Scripture. And we're going to be looking at a number of different concepts in the Bible. And I first spoke about this about a year or so ago. And I've been working on it and kind of enlarging it, because there's so much in the Bible about this subject. Success secrets from Scripture. Now, when somebody says the word success, I don't know what image that conjures up in your mind. It could conjure up an image of someone covered in gold chains and bling and gold teeth. And so on. Maybe it conjures up an image of a particular person. Maybe you think of somebody like Elon Musk or something like that. Maybe when we talk about success, you think of something kind of cheap and crass, you know, like someone who's so desperate to make as much money as possible that they'll scam anybody to do so. And you think that person is seeking to become successful. But none of that is to do with success. You know, you could have a private jet and be successful, and you could have a private jet and be unsuccessful. And someone might not even have a bicycle and they're successful because they are accomplishing the thing that they are attempting. Right? They are accomplishing. Look, anybody ever put up an IKEA cabinet? Anybody ever done that? Right. I want you to imagine that you have set yourself a project. You're going to set up an IKEA cabinet. And you've got the little booklet, which has no words on it, only pictures. And you're looking at that, and you say, I'm going to attempt this. And you put the cabinet together, and at the end of it, it's constructed, it's stable. You don't have three pieces of wood left that you don't know where they were supposed to go. Everything's been used. You were successful at accomplishing the project you attempted. There was no money involved. There was no bling involved. There was no private jet involved, right? But you were successful at accomplishing the project that you attempted. Now, what my main point is, if we just look at the screen here, my main point is this, and this is what we're going to be looking at week after week. The Bible contains practical advice for living a successful, fulfilling, and meaningful life. See, lots of people don't seem to understand that. They think that living a successful, fulfilling, and meaningful life is kind of materialistic and worldly. And the Bible is interested in spiritual things. But you know, the Bible says things like this: don't co-sign a loan for someone you don't know. It's got nothing to do with going to heaven and staying out of hell, has it? It's got to do with having a good bank account and staying out of bankruptcy. It's got nothing to do with life after death. It is practical. Jesus said, if someone is suing you, before the court case comes up, go and have a little meeting with them and try and sort it out. Practical advice. Make peace with your adversary before you go to court, Jesus said. The Bible contains practical advice for living. The Bible is not just about dying. It's about living. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The Bible contains practical advice for living a successful, fulfilling, and meaningful life. Okay, so we're talking about success and what the Bible has to say about it. Many pieces of practical advice that are not well known. They're almost secrets. There are success secrets that are in Scripture. So what do we mean by success? Right? Let's have a look at a dictionary definition. And I'm not using, what's that one they all use in the States? Webster's. No. I'm using the Oxford English Dictionary. The Queen's English. Proper English. Okay? Right. According to the Oxford Dictionary, success is the prosperous achievement of something attempted. Remember the IKEA cabinet? You attempted it, and it all worked out. It was a success. The prosperous achievement of something attempted. Now, that's a good definition, but there's a little psychological trick in one of the words. You see, lots of people do not feel successful at all. And if you have a feeling that you are not successful, what's that called? Being not successful? It's called being a failure. No one wants to feel like a failure. And the reason very often we do is because we are often in the process of achieving something, but haven't yet finished it yet. And the problem that I've got with this definition is that success is all based on after you have finished it. You're working towards something, you're not successful. You're working towards it, you're not successful. You're working towards it, you're still not successful. You're still working towards it, you're still not successful. You've finally done it, you're successful for a moment. Now it's time for the next thing, right? You see, it's all based on the achievement. You're not successful until after you've achieved the thing. Now, one of the world's greatest success coaches of a previous generation was a guy called Errol Nightingale. And he had a great definition for success. Let's put that up. He said this: success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal or ideal. So if my goal is over there and I haven't reached it yet, but I am on the journey, I am already successful, because success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal. Now, if the goal's there and I'm going this way, then I can't say I'm successful. But if I'm at least going in the right direction, if I am progressively realizing something, then already every step you take towards that goal is a step of success. Now, let me give you a biblical definition of the word success. There's not one sentence in the Bible that says this, but over the next few weeks, as we look at all these concepts, you will see that all of them are there in Scripture. Here's what the Bible is talking about with success. Success is living a fulfilling, stable, and truly abundant life. A fulfilling, stable, and truly abundant life. Well, that's a lot better than an unfulfilling, chaotic, and truly miserable life, right? Okay? So you can see that one is a success and one's not. To live that kind of life, as you discover and progressively achieve your God-given unique purpose. You see, there might be something that you are supposed to do with your life. And there's something that I'm supposed to do with my life. But if I try to do the thing that you're supposed to do with your life, even if I achieve it, I have not been successful. I have failed at discovering and doing the thing that I'm supposed to do with my life. Okay? And so we can see that every one of us is different. The definition of success will be different for different people. For somebody in this room, the definition of success might be finally launching a successful business that you've been dreaming about and working on your whole life. For someone else, success might be managing to bring up their children in difficult situations that they've found themselves in and without their children going off the rails. And if they can do that, that's success. Two different lives, two different goals, okay? Now, let's just have a look at what success was to one person, somebody who found themselves in difficult situation, in a difficult circumstance. Do you know that even if somebody kidnapped you, took you away to another country, sold you as a slave, you could either sit there on the ground feeling sorry for yourself and being miserable, or you could decide to become the most successful slave the world has ever seen? Let me show you somebody that did just that. Let's have a look. It's in the book of Genesis. It says, the Lord was with Joseph
But he failed in everything because God doesn't like success because that's materialistic and not spiritual. Is that what it says? Okay, let's read on. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did. Isn't this good? He succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master Potiphar. His Egyptian master Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. How many of you believe the Lord is with you? Give me a wave if you believe the Lord is with you. Well, according to this, if the Lord is with you, you should be successful in everything you do. Whatever you put your hand to, he will prosper. That's what the word says. This pleased Potiphar. Of course it did. Look, your boss might be a miserable old goat. Got to watch the words you choose on the Sunday. Your boss might be a miserable old goat, but if you go to work with the favor of the Lord upon you and the blessing of the Lord upon you, and you become the most successful employee that boss has ever had, and you're attracting more clients, and you're making your boss more money, he is going to be happy and wonder what it is about you that is different. And so it says here, this pleased Potiphar. So he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything. If you're good at something, you get rewarded by even more work. Do you see that? Put him in charge of his master's household and property. And the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly. And his crop, listen, some of you, that would be a definition of success for you. If you could just get your household affairs to run smoothly one week, you know? The dishwasher, the clothes, the ironing, the vacuuming, all the stuff that needs done. Could you imagine if that all got done one week? Wouldn't that be a success? And it says here, all his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph, he didn't worry about a thing, except what kind of food to eat. Joseph was also a very handsome and well-built young man. Not only can you be successful, you can look good while you're doing it. Do you see that? I mean, I know some of you have never had that problem, but the Lord can renew your youth like the eagles. I was online in my office last week looking for a particular video and I had from the past, and I came across this video of me from 12 years ago. Now, I started watching it was online, and I thought, my goodness, if only I had realized how good-looking I was at the time. And while I was thinking that, our worship director, Perry, popped his head in the office. I said, Perry, come here. Have a look at how good-looking I was 12 years ago. So we watched that video. There's a promise. Claim it. So, when the Lord is with you, even when you are in an unpleasant or difficult situation, you can become successful in that area, and it can turn the whole situation around. Look what God said to Joshua. Let's look at the book of Joshua. It says this, God said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. For you're the one who will lead his people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or the left. Then you will be successful in one or two things that you do. in everything you do. You go home to bake a cake and you bake the best freaking cake that anyone has ever baked. You know? I mean, it's like everything you do just is just blessed. And it says here, you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So I really believe that if you can get an accurate understanding of what we mean by success, that then you will also realize that the Bible is filled with principles for achieving your God-given uniqueness, for using to the full your God-given gifts. Let's have a look at the next slide. I want to show you something here. These are the seven C's of success. Now, I remember maybe about 10 years ago, I preached a message, and it was called the three C's of success. And then about 2 or 3 years later, I preached another message, and it was called the five C's of success. And then a couple of years later, I had seven of them, and I decided I better stop because, honestly, you could keep going. But, you know, there's success is like baking a cake. It involves more than one ingredient. It involves a number of ingredients. So, for instance, if you want to be successful in something, the first C I've got there is charisma. Now, there's two sides to that. In the church, we know that charisma means a gift, a spiritual gift. In the world, they would tend to mean a charismatic personality. Both are true. If you want to be successful, can I just tell you something? See, if you want to be successful at anything in life, have a personality. Have a personality. I have met many Christians who unfortunately went through an operation called a personality bypass operation. In which they are the most bland, boring, beige, vanilla people you've ever met. For goodness sake, if you want people to be interested in you, be interesting. And if you want to be interesting, develop some interests. Okay? Develop some interests. Have some charisma. But also be aware that you will be successful in the areas that you are naturally gifted in, the way God created you. There's some things that just come naturally to you. They're like gifts. They're not learned skills. And you will be a lot more successful in that area. Character. Character. We're talking about being a man or woman of God. We're talking about having integrity. We're talking about being somebody that is reliable and trustworthy. Commitment. You know, you'll never become successful by throwing yourself into a job one day and abandoning it the next. You have to make a commitment that this is the path you're going. Consistency. Again, if you're doing something that works, you keep doing the same thing and it keeps working. Confidence. Didn't we just read that God told Joshua to be courageous, to have confidence? Creativity. You know, if you're open a pizza shop, what's going to make your pizza shop different than the pizza shop down the road? What is creative? If you're an artist, what makes your art different than someone else's art? What is it that you can put creativity into? Because all of that is who God has made you to be. And then the last word there, competence. And that's the one I just want to focus in on right now. Because this is where a lot of people struggle with the idea of motivation. They will look at people who are succeeding in life, succeeding in areas that they're attempting, and then they will realize, well, I don't know how to do that. and I don't know how to do those things. So I kind of like, I don't have the competence that these people have. Do you know when I have never sang opera in my life? I cannot sing opera. I don't believe that God's even interested in me singing opera. I have got no desire to sing opera. I don't really like listening to opera. When I die and stand before the Lord, He's not going to take a look over my life and say, "Why did you not sing opera? I mean, I wanted you to go and sing." No. No, Lord. You would need to have given me the gift if you wanted me to use. I will never be judged for not doing things that I was not given the ability to do. I will never be judged for not being somebody else, but I will have to give an account to the Lord for what I've done with my life. You know the parable of the talents? Remember the parable of the talents? Look what it says. Let's just look on. Next slide, please. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, and 1 to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities." Church, you might not have the same ability that somebody else has, but you have certain abilities. Now, you might only have 1 ability, and someone else might have 3 abilities, and you might feel sorry for yourself, and you might feel jealous of them, and you might be complaining to God that you've only got 1 ability and they've got 3. But think of it this way. One day, they're going to have to give an account for what they've done with 3 abilities, and you're only going to have to give an account for what you've done with 1 ability. "Oh, I would love to be a prophet to the nations." No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You would love to be an Uber driver. You would be a perfect Uber driver. You would talk to all of your customers. You would share the gospel with them. You're a great driver. You're a great conversationalist. Stop trying to be somebody else. Find out who you are. What abilities do you have? Put your abilities to work. Now, competence. Having abilities is being competent. And you know, there are 4 levels of competence that we can grow into. If you feel incompetent in some area, you can grow. So there's 4 levels of competence. You can be unconsciously incompetent. That's when you're rubbish and you don't even know it. Okay? You can be unconsciously incompetent. You can be totally incompetent and you've got no clue. Right? Everybody else knows. Then one day it dawns on you, "Duh, I'm incompetent." Now you're consciously incompetent. You're still incompetent, but at least you know it now, okay? Let me give you an example. When I was a little kid, I couldn't ride a bike. I didn't know that I couldn't ride a bike because I'd never tried. I was incompetent at riding bicycles, but I was unconsciously incompetent. Then one day, my parents bought me a bike. And my dad took me out. And, you know, he held onto the saddle as I pedaled and so on. All of a sudden, I realized, "Don't let go! Don't let go! I can't ride a bike!" All of a sudden, I was conscious about how incompetent I was at riding. I would never have learned to ride a bike if I didn't first become consciously incompetent. You have to know what you've not got before you know what you want. right? Then I'd learned to ride the bike. And I actually became proficient at it. I was competent, but I was consciously competent. I had to think, pedal. I had to think about it. I had to consciously think about it. And then eventually I became unconsciously competent. I can ride the bike without thinking about it. Most of you drove here in a car without even thinking about driving. You just do it automatically. You go on autopilot. You are unconsciously competent. And those are the four ways. Spiritually, it works this way too. You know? There was once a time that you were lost. When it came to getting into heaven, you were incompetent at getting into heaven. You were lost. But you didn't know you were lost. Then one day you heard the gospel. And when you heard the gospel, all of a sudden you thought, oh my goodness, all these people know this Jesus. I don't. I am lost, and I am now aware that I am lost. And then you put your faith in Jesus, and you're saved. And you know you're saved. But you have to really work at it, you know, because you've not had the habits of praying, of reading the Bible, of coming to church. You're having to consciously develop new habits. And then after you've been a believer for 2 or 3 decades, you don't even think about it. The Lord is always with you. It's hard for you to imagine what it was like being a non-Christian. He walks with you and talks with you along life's narrow way, as the old hymn says. He's with you. It's just normal. Those are the levels that we go through. And do you know that we can pray for God to expand our capacity? I want to look at this passage from Chronicles. Think this. We're going to finish with a prayer. 1 Chronicles. It says, there was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. The word Jabez means painful. Could you imagine if your mother named you like that? Hi, what's your name? My name was, oh boy, that was sore. And what's your sister's name? Forceps. It's like, who would name their kids? But anyway, his mother named him that. It's basically, my goodness, that was painful. And he was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. May your hand be with me, causing me to succeed in all that I do and keep me free from all trouble and pain. And God said, that's a selfish prayer, praying for success. I won't grant that. Was that what God said? Say it with me. And God granted him his request. Church, do you want to grow in life? Do you want to grow in competence? Do you want to grow in ability? Do you want to grow in success? Does God love Jabez more than he loves you? If he did it for him, will he do it for you? Will we ask right now? Come on then, stand up, church. Stand up. Let's put our prayer up. And let's say this together on the count of three. Stick your hands up as if you're receiving by faith. 1, 2, 3. Dear Lord, I pray that you would bless me indeed and that you would expand my borders, my territory, my influence, and my income. Let your hand be with me, causing me to succeed in all that I do, and keep me free from experiencing or causing others any trouble or pain. I believe it, I receive it, and with God's help, I will achieve it. In Jesus' name, give him a shout, church.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this week's message, click subscribe. And if you'd like to check us out in person, check our website for times and location at thechurchse.com. Have a great week.